Our Bible reading today comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Thanks, Daniel. Well, Merriam-Webster Dictionary have announced their word of the year for 2023. Does anyone know? Authentic. Most years that word has a high volume lookup on their site, but the word authentic saw a substantial increase this year. Now, they put it down to being driven by stories and conversations about AI, celebrity culture, identity, and social media. Authentic has a number of meanings, including not false or an imitation. It's a synonym of real and actual, and also true to one's personality, spirit, or character. And although clearly a desirable quality, authentic is hard to define and is subject to debate. Two reasons why it sent many people to the dictionary this year. An authentic is often connected to identity, whether national or personal. Words frequently modified by authentic include cuisine and dish, but also self and voice. With the rise of artificial intelligence and its impact on deep fake videos, actors' contracts, academic honesty, and a vast number of other topics, the line between real and fake has become increasingly blurred. People are looking for authenticity. They are searching for truth, wanting or needing to know what is real. Now, I know that many of us have been up since before dawn, or some of us might be a bit tired from being here at church 24 hours ago and then back again today, and maybe others of us are exhausted from planning Christmas lunches and dinners with family and shopping and all of that, but so I'll sort of get straight to the theological point of today's sermon. So I'll say it at the start rather than towards the end like we normally might do when wrapping it up and with all the application, but just so that when you're laying on the couch later today and you're recovering from eating half your weight in turkey and other trimmings, and maybe you're surrounded by torn wrapping paper and you have just a moment of quiet to yourself, simply think about this. Jesus authentically reveals who the Father is, the God who saves. When we wonder and search what God is really like, today is Christmas, and we see the newborn baby of Mary and Joseph, given the name Jesus, which means God saves. And of course, this ultimately happens 33 years later when he is crucified on the cross, but the birth of Jesus is essential to God's salvation plan. Matthew very briefly says that Joseph gives the baby the name Jesus, but Luke explains with a little bit more detail that it was on the eighth day, and so when Jesus is 8 days old, it is time to circumcise the child, and it was then that he is officially given the name Jesus. And it's the name that the angel had given him and told that he will be given before he was even conceived. An angel appears both to Joseph and to Mary, telling them to give the baby the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. It's very clear that this baby must be called Jesus. Before Henry was born, we knew that was definitely the name for Henry, but we sort of didn't want to commit too much, just in case you look at the little baby's face and you think, he doesn't look like a Henry. So we did have sort of a backup in mind, but it was very clear here, definitely, his name is going to be Jesus, and it will be Jesus. And I'm sorry for stating the obvious, and you may, surely you know this, but Mary and Joseph didn't speak English. You know, they didn't call out, Jesus, dinner's ready. Maybe, Jesus, stop fighting with your siblings about your presence. Sure, that happened, who knows. But the name Jesus is essentially Joshua from our Old Testament that we have, and it's pronounced something like Yeshua, but that's probably slightly wrong as well. Well, we say Jesus, which is perfectly fine. We're not blaspheming or anything like that by saying it in English as Jesus. But when you read of Joshua in the Old Testament and we read of Jesus in the New Testament, it's the same name. And it means God saves, or God's salvation. And so God's own Son, God becoming a human being, while still being fully God, is fully human, is sent to save his people from their sins. But God doesn't just shoot down like Mr. Bean. If you remember those episodes, the opening credits, there's a narrow light and it widens a little bit and then shoom, Mr. Bean just lands on the street with a thud. I guess he was from outer space or something, I'm not sure. But the Son isn't just thrown down from heaven like that as an adult with a name badge saying Jesus. But God uses people to bring about his plans and purposes for his world. And we've looked at some of these people over the last month during Advent. We've got Mary and Joseph, there's even Caesar Augustus and Governor Quirinius and King Herod, Zechariah and Elizabeth, like yesterday, and even angelic beings are all used by God. And it's such a wide range of characters. There's Mary and Joseph, who are pretty ordinary people and quite young. They've got royal lineage, but as we've seen yesterday, Zechariah and Elizabeth are higher in society with their priestly heritage. And there's the powerful rulers who are ethnically different to the others as well. And of course, the angels are God's messengers, not just a simple postie delivering a telegram. The Son humbles himself so much that he goes through the process of being an unborn baby. And being born and going through the Jewish ritual of being circumcised and named on the eighth day. And that name is Jesus, God saves. And through the incarnation, we see that salvation comes through a person. And through Jesus, we see that salvation is both particular and universal. It is particular because it comes only through Jesus. There is no other possible way or person that God brings salvation. We certainly can't save ourselves, and we can't wait for someone else to come along and to save us. We have a Saviour, and his name is Jesus. But salvation is also universal because it's not just for you and me, not just for Israel, but for the whole world. For he is the Saviour of the world. And I hope you like the video that we showed at the start of the service. If you want to look at it again, it's just in YouTube, type in Jesus versus Santa. But Christmas is often seen as this nice and clean and fun event, and we can easily lose sight of Jesus. Now, Good Friday is brutal. It is the most terrible, shocking event the world has ever seen, while in a way at the same time the most beautiful. Crucifying God's own Son, completely innocent, yet treated like a horrible criminal. But Christmas, in a way, should also unsettle us. Salvation is particular because it requires God to become a human. Because the only way for the Saviour to come was through Christmas, so that Jesus could be the Saviour of the world. And sometimes we need to be shaken up a little by this, otherwise it can become a little bit too comfortable. Maybe sometimes we do sing, "Oh come, let us ignore him," without realising it. But the salvation of God entered the world through one particular Jew, at one particular time, at one particular point of history, and one place in history. And Matthew opens his gospel with the long family tree of Jesus to show this. Generation after generation waiting for the Messiah to come. And when he does come, it doesn't start as an adult, but as a baby in the womb of a virgin, pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And we've already looked at Mary and Joseph in our Advent series a few weeks ago, but we have to look at them again today. Because when Joseph finds out Mary is pregnant, he wants to divorce her quietly so she isn't disgraced publicly. He's thinking about the situation when an angel appears to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Initially, Joseph thought that this baby would destroy his life, his future, maybe even his career and reputation in the community if the divorce didn't happen quietly. But Jesus comes to heal and to bring hope, no matter the situation. Joseph thought all this had happened and he had to resolve it through splitting things up. But the angel of God comes to say that Joseph has an extremely important job to do. And the first one is to name the baby Jesus. Now Joseph simply does what he is told. He is faithful and trusting in God. And the same is required of us when we don't fully understand what is going on in the present. And maybe we don't have a clue what the future will hold. And Joseph probably felt fairly secure and content with life. He's engaged to be married. He's starting his career as a carpenter. There were probably still lots of issues and problems to work through, I'm sure, especially living in a poor village, and more widely, his people, the Jews, were living in oppression awaiting the Messiah. But from that moment, he found out that Mary was pregnant. And even after his encounter with the angel and the assurance of not being afraid, he became very vulnerable. Things had become out of his control more than ever. But in obeying God and staying engaged to Mary and accepting his responsibility to name Jesus and to raise him as his own, he opened himself up to the risk. When we've all had situations in our lives where we have been vulnerable and have gotten hurt. You gave it your all, you took a big risk, you did something brave, you were really honest, yet you were betrayed. Maybe even you were destroyed. In parenting, you gave your kids all you had and they still made those terrible choices. In marriage, you asked for what you needed and your spouse failed you. In work, you may have worked hard and someone else got promoted or rewarded instead. You tried that new thing and failed. You reached out to someone and shared deep thoughts and feelings with someone and they didn't say any back. Or they even betrayed you and laughed at you. You may have said, "I love you" first and didn't hear it said back. We've had all these sorts of experiences. Vulnerability is inevitable, and yet we know that we'll likely be hurt. Joseph and Mary faced this, and even with the comforting words of the angels ringing in their ears of not being afraid, and how the baby Jesus will save their people from their sins, they still had to take the risk of faith and trust. Today we celebrate Christmas, and one of the words we could use for that is wonder. A moment of wonder is the moment when you are speechless, overwhelmed, and caught up in a mystery. In a moment of wonder, you momentarily develop a singular focus, and everything else stops. On that first Christmas, the whole focus of the world, the whole hope for the world, stopped and centered on that baby laying in the manger. When was the last time you experienced wonder? Don't you long for a life of wonder and mystery and surprise and joy? Because Advent and Christmas come along each year, and each year we tend to fall into the trap of rushing around and focusing on spending and giving and eating and so on. But we are invited to wonder, to stand in awe of a God who didn't show up on earth as a full-grown human, thundering down like Mr. Bean onto the streets of Bethlehem. But God entered the inevitability of vulnerability when God became human. He opened himself up to being personally hurt, misunderstood, looked down on, rejected, to experience what we experience. God was conceived by the Holy Spirit. God entered the womb of a young woman. God became an embryo, then a fetus. God was sustained by amniotic fluid. God was given nutrients through an umbilical cord. God was pushed through a birth canal. God came into the world through the body, the blood, the sweat and tears of a virgin outcast girl. This is the wonder of Advent and Christmas, that Jesus entered the world in the most vulnerable of ways. And Jesus goes on to live his life, entering the stories of people at their moment of their greatest vulnerability. Think of the demon-possessed man, the bleeding woman, Zacchaeus, and so many others. Throughout the Gospels, people meet Jesus at their most vulnerable moment, and Jesus changes their lives. He knew and understood what they were going through, because God chose to enter our world in such a way that Jesus identified with them. This is authenticity. If the most searched for word in the dictionary this year is authenticity, then our lives need to direct people to the greatest definition there is. That Jesus, God's own Son, becoming a human in a particular way, given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. For salvation is through no other name. Christmas is about a God who loves us so much that he came into our world. A Father who wants to make sure we can see his love in living flesh. Christmas is about being rescued from the darkness of despair and death. Jesus has come, and that changes everything. The world is searching, and maybe you are searching for authentic identity. We need to look no further than the one who came to us and identified with us, so that we may identify with him. For he is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.